chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Bereshit 16. And we'll be beginning in verse 1. Praise the Lord. His word is timeless. It is never old. He gives brand new revelation. And there are times when the Lord says, do not write, take notes. I will fill your mouth on what you have to say. Simply read the scripture, and I'll give you revelation. And so that's what I'm doing today. Notice I do not have my black folder with me. There are times when the Lord just wants to speak through his Spirit through us. And we just simply have to proclaim his word in the reading, and then the Lord fills in the gaps. For in his word there is no gaps. He gives all revelation. Praise be to his name. So he instructed me to read it first all the way through this chapter. And then as a refiner's comb, as Brother Martin shared earlier, as we dig a little bit deeper, the Lord will give revelation. And I say this to you, that the Lord will give you revelation that's beyond my revelation in the preparation of this message, because that's what I receive. When I've heard rabbis speak and many others speak, the Lord has given me even more revelation, not saying what the revelation that he or others have received is not good enough. It's just that the Spirit wanted to show me something a little bit more that was pertaining specifically and personally to my own life. And so that's why many times you'll see me, I'll be taking notes when someone's preaching. Because not only I write down what they have shared, but also the Spirit gives me illumination and revelation and speaks to my heart and tells me how do I need to apply that word that that servant of the Lord has faithfully spent time poring over the scripture and has prepared a message for all of us to hear. It's amazing. If you go to different services, you hear different speakers from time to time. There's a basis of the word that they give, but the Lord gives so much revelation. Have you ever been listening to a preacher or a teacher, and all of a sudden the Lord starts giving you word pictures in your mind? I've had that experience. Not too often, but it has happened. That the Lord has given me visions while I've heard preaching. And sometimes while singing's going on, I've heard many, many testimonies here that during the worship time, the Lord had given somebody a vision of things yet to come. Sometimes the Lord says, you're to be silent about it. That's for another day. And sometimes the Lord says, that's just for you. Receive it. Meditate on it. Because sometimes he just gives us a layer, just like as many of us have cooked before. There's layers, many, many layers to an onion, is there not? And as we get down through these layers, the Lord gives more and more revelation. And that's what God's word is. He reveals his truth in a deeper way to all of us. So let us begin. Now Sarai, which is Sarah, Avram, Abraham's wife, had not borne him a child, but she had an Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, hear now, Adonai has kept me from having children. So go in and sleep with my slave girl. Maybe I'll be able to have children through her. Avram listened to what Sarah said. It was after Avram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, that Sarai, Avram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to Abraham, her husband, to be his wife. Abraham had sexual relations with her, marital relations with her, with Hagar, and she conceived. But when she became aware that she was pregnant, she looked up on her mistress with contempt. Sarai said to Abraham, this is an outrage being done to me, and it is your fault. True, I gave my slave girl to you to sleep with. But when she saw that she was pregnant, she began holding me into contempt. May Adonai decide who is right, I or you. Wow. Continuing. However, Avraham answered Sarai, look, she's your slave girl. Deal with her as you think fit. Then Sarai treated her so harshly that she ran away from her. The angel of Adonai found her by the spring in the desert, the spring on the road to Shur, and said, Hagar, Sarai, slave girl, where have you come from and where are you going? She answered, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. The angel of Adonai said to her, go back to your mistress and submit to her authority. The angel of Adonai said to her, I will greatly increase your descendants. There will be so many that it will be impossible to count them. The angel of Adonai said to her, look, you are pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Ishmael, which means God pays attention. Because Adonai has paid attention to your misery, he will be a wild donkey of a man, with his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, living his life at odds with all his kinsmen. So she named Adonai, who had spoken to her, El Ra'oi, Ra'ai, God of seeing, the God who sees. Because he said, have I really seen the one who sees me and stayed alive? This is why the well was called Be'er Lachai Ro'ai, well of the one who lives and sees. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bore Avram a son, and Avram called the son whom Hagar had born Ishmael. Avraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Avraham. Okay, what's going on here? For 10 years they had lived in the land. Avraham had received the promise that God would give him a son, and that from that son there would be many nations that would come. There would be many people who would be blessed through them. And so this is a portion that was given to them. Avraham told Sarai, this is going to be so. But what had happened? He's now what? He's 86 years old. How many 86-year-old men today in modern science are able to impregnate their wives? Very, very few. It's a miracle. And so at that time, it was even more of a great miracle. And so with this, they were looking at their circumstances. They looked at what they saw. They believed the Lord, but they began not to trust in him and his promises. And so Sarai, she thought to herself, well, here's a way I can help out the Lord. How many of us have done that before? I've done it countless times. Lord, I believe in your promises. I trust you, but here, you need a little help. You're late. I'm getting tired. I'm getting frustrated. I want to throw in the towel. So God, I need to help you. Isn't that a foolish statement? And so that's basically what's going on here. And you may be saying, well, that's a very, very simple story. That's right. But who are these two people? These are our mother and father in faith. Amen? And so when they're stretched, and when they're facing circumstances, and things are not going their way, what did they try and do? Do it their own way. And that's what's happening here. And so it declares here that the Lord had, from her own words, Adonai has made it so that I cannot bear a child all the days of my life. So she began not to believe and trust the Lord. That's human nature. Some may say, well, you're picking on her. What about Yohanan, the Mikvah, John the Baptist? When he was put in Herod's prison, he began to question. He was the same one that declared, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And what happened? Yeshua sent to him his Talmudim, his disciples. And he said this, he's raising the dead, he's healing the sick, and all these miracles are happening. And he's preaching repentance unto God. And so all of us, no matter who we are, just like the Apostle Paul when he was in prison, he fought bouts of depression, times of anxiety. But he learned that in all things to give praise. Whether I'm rich or poor, whether I'm sick or healthy, no matter where I find myself, we're to exalt the Lord in all these things. And as we draw into these tribulation days that are coming fast upon us, that's reality. There are many preachers that will say, keep sending the money in, let's keep building these buildings. But reality is this, my brothers and sisters. We're entering the days of the tribulations. Everything that we know is going to be turned upside down and inside out. But as we walk in the Lord's provision, we have nothing to fear. For it is His peace, His counsel that will lead and guide us in all these areas. And so some of you may be wondering, well, what significance is this of Hagar? What was Hagar? What nation was she from? That's right. And here we're celebrating Pesach, Passover, during this time. And what does Egypt represent? The world. So here was a convenience for Sarai. This is what the Lord showed me in this passage. Here she turned to the world's resources, her slave girl, to fulfill the promises that were of God. She went a different way. How many times we go to the world to seek out our provision? We trust in the things of the world and lay aside the things of God. And that's what she was doing here. And so she was the one that brought this up. She was the one to propose this. But you know what's amazing? Avram, who was supposed to be the spiritual high priest of his household, he did not inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, should I enter into this marriage? What happens when we don't inquire of the Lord? When something looks good to us and it appears, oh, this is God's provision, and we do not inquire of the Lord, there is so much danger here. Joshua, as they were taking over the promised land, there was a group of people that got together and they said this, we've heard the miracles, we've seen the might and the power, no one can stand before Israel. So this is what we should do. Let's go get our old sandals and put them on. Let's put our old ratty clothes. Let's cover ourselves with dirt. And let's go and meet Joshua and the people. Let's enter into covenant with them. Deception. The scripture says this, Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. And what happened? These people just lived a few hills over from where they were. These were people that they were supposed to exterminate. But they could not, because they entered into covenant with them. They did not inquire of the Lord. And so continue on this portion here. It goes on to say this, that when she saw that she was impregnated by Abraham, Hagar, she had ill feelings. She held Sarai in contempt. Right? Have you ever failed before people who are non-believers and your witness as a believer? I have. Their hearts many times are filled with what? Contempt. Because my brothers and sisters, listen to this. Abraham and Sarah were to be a light to their family. To be light to all these people that were living under their care. Because I know this, Abraham made that proclamation. The Lord has promised me that I will have a son. And from the Lord it will be given. And hear what they were doing. They were entering into a covenant with someone who represented the world, Hagar. And so this was the witness, the testimony that they're laying down. Because they were not trusting in the Lord. And so continuing here, the scripture says that Abraham stood up. And he said to his wife, do with her, treat her as you desire. Does that sound like a godly man? He never inquired of the Lord of this. Because she was pregnant. What he did in joining into that marriage wasn't the will of the Lord. Amen? It wasn't God's provision. And so he walked in rebellion to suffice his need. And so with this, we see that he was not willing to take responsibility for what he had done. And so with this, he was now passing on that to his wife and saying, you decide what's to be done right. He should have been inquiring of the Lord at that point, but he did not. And so what did Sarah do? She saw the contempt and she retaliated. We as believers, when something is done wrong against us, the mark of a mature man or woman of God is not to retaliate. Amen? That's not the Lord. He says, be kind, be loving to those who despitefully use you. For such they have done to me. That's dying. That's putting on Yeshua. And loving your enemies as yourself. So let's continue here. And so Hagar, she got so upset and she ran away. She ran into the desert. You know what's beautiful here? Adonai Yeshua saw her, the angel of the Lord. And he came to her and he cried out to her, where have you come from and where are you going? She came from the world, Egypt. And where was she on the path to by running away? To destruction. And what does the scripture say here? He reveals himself to her. And he declares to her, you are pregnant, but you'll give birth to a son. And he gives her this promise to her. That you'll have a son and you'll have many descendants. And also he allows for her to see water there in this portion. Excuse me, I got that mixed up. It's the latter. When her and Ishmael flee, they're sent out at a later time. And so anyway, in this portion here, it declares that he met her there. And he says to her, name him Ishmael, which means God pays attention. Isn't that a beautiful name? How many of us, when we hear the name Ishmael or Ishmaelites, we think, well, they're our enemies. They are Abraham's descendants, his sons. Amen. We're not to look at them with contempt. We're to look at them with love and compassion. For the grace of God, there go we. Do you want to curse the sons of Abraham? The Ishmaelites, the descendants of Abraham? Are you to harbor evil and hate towards them? No. We serve a God who is what? A God of love. We're to speak to the sons of Ishmael and declare them the goodness and the love of God. Because they are also covenant sons. Ishmael at the age of 12, 13, he had the Brit Milah. Before the Torah was even written, he had his circumcision. He was a covenant son to the Lord. There was a way. Because even in his name, it's undeniable, God pays attention. Now, everything's been twisted now. The descendants, majority of them in Ishmael, are following what? Allah. As Martin declared today in that little beautiful illustration, someone who has a knife at your jugular vein, just waiting to kill you. Think how twisted that is. When Abraham took his son Yitzhak upon that mountain, and he was ready to do what? To offer his son as a sacrifice. See, we serve a God of love. Allah is a God of war and hatred. You see the difference here? And that's why in Islam they teach this. It wasn't Yitzhak that was being offered up as a sacrifice. It was Ishmael. See the twist? See, here was clear revelation. And so the Lord says, I will bless his descendants. But it does say to him, what kind of a person he's going to be. Undeniable. He shall be what? He shall be a wild donkey of a man. How many have had relatives like that? You've had relatives that are just completely, they're out there. So that's the way he was. That was his temperament. But you know what? The Lord still desired to bless him. Because you know, as we read through these patriarchs, you know what we find? They are just like us. They told lies and they were scoundrels. There were times when they lacked faith, and there were times when their faith was shining as bright as the sun. That's how I can identify with these people. And so should you. Let's continue here. Adonai had paid attention to your misery. And he said, Ishmael will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. What's happening now? The descendants of Ishmael. Their hand is against everyone. And everyone's hand is against them, except for the Lord. Because the Lord always has redemptive purposes in everything. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including Ishmael, should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Do you believe that for all the other nations, except for the nations that came from Ishmael? That's not the heart of God. Abraham grieves today in heaven over his descendants from Ishmael that haven't come to know the true Messiah that was brought through Yitzhak, his son. So it goes on to say here that the Lord said you're to name him Ishmael. God pays attention. And it goes on to say here, so in verse 13, so she named Adonai who had spoken with her El Ra'oi, God of seeing, the God who sees. Because she said, I have really seen the one who sees me. Remember this, my brothers and sisters. Where did she come out of? Egypt, the world. Who was ruling over Egypt at that time? Another Pharaoh who said this, I am the literal presence and representative of God on the earth. I am God in human flesh. But what does she declare here? This is even before the Exodus. She declares this, I have seen him who sees me, the one true God, and he has spared my life. I now live. What was the testimony of Yaakov once he wrestled with the angel of the Lord? I've seen God, I've wrestled with the Lord, and I have prevailed. Not that I've overcome the Lord, but he touched me. He caused my hip to be dislocated. It's amazing. You never hear about him ever having hands laid upon him by anyone. To him, walking around with that limp was a badge and a reminder to him that God exists. And it says in the scripture there that after he wrestled with Adonai, Yeshua, after he had done that, he worshiped him. And he declared him as God. And he declared this, I have seen the Lord and I have lived. The same testimony we see with Hagar, someone that came out from the world, but got to know God. Adonai Yeshua revealing himself personally to her. So is there hope for Egyptians today? Absolutely. Is there hope for all the descendants of Ishmael? Absolutely. So do not hold your light from them. Show them tenderness and kindness and love, because that's what is owed to them. Because they too are what? The sons of Abraham. Because the Lord said this to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Most of the times we think, well, that's just for the Jewish people. Really? It's also for the descendants of Ishmael. He desires to bless them and for them to be his people. Notice this, my brothers and sisters. When the king of Israel, Herod, was ready to put Yeshua to death, where did he go? Where did the angel of the Lord send him? But into Egypt. From Egypt, the scripture declares, I've called out my son. And during this time of Pesach, what did the Lord allow? He allowed our people to be there for 430 years. That's 191 years beyond America has been in existence. That's the proper perspective of how the Jewish people were enslaved. 430 years. And through that, he brought great deliverance. So I declare this to you, during Pesach, the Lord wants, as Martin said, we must identify with this. Because I tell you this, my brothers and sisters, if you read the scripture closely, you will see this, that it was Egyptians and a mixed group that left with Israel. Because they saw the one true God being revealed to them, undeniably. Because there was a Pharaoh, another Pharaoh at that time, who declared himself, I am God in human flesh. I am the light of the world. I represent the sun. And he was an antichrist. And what's going to be happening soon? We who are going to be tribulation saints or believers, the antichrist is going to show himself again. And the scripture declares this, there's going to be a great falling away. And who's that speaking of? The believers in Messiah. So don't you dare think that you got everything unto yourself. Paul declared, work out your salvation, work out your Yeshua with fear and trembling. Fear him above all other things. Have no relationship above him. And tremble before him. How many times have you been on worship service or just time with the Lord where you're trembling in his awesomeness? There are times we do not perceive him as he is. Because I know this in this scripture here. As the angel of Adonai, Yeshua, appeared to her, she was not, her attitude was in trembling. Because she knew and she recognized. Think of the stories around the campfire. When Abraham related to her the times when he saw Adonai Yeshua's presence, that's how she knew who it was. And that's what we are to do today. Share the hope that is in us, which is the Lord. And so she went back there, and it says this, that she submitted herself to a godly woman that was bent out of shape. And she did it unto the Lord. So there are times when the Lord asks us to do things that we say, Lord, it's not fair. Lord, change them. When I've been in those situations, you know what the Lord said? I'm burning off all the chaff and the dross in your life. If you can love that brother and sister in Messiah going through this with them and show them tender mercies, then you're truly being transformed into my image, my likeness, and my character. And you're not just putting on Yeshua, Jesus, as a put on, but you're walking in reality. That's what the Lord is calling us to. To have all that chaff burnt off. And you may be saying to you, well, the place isn't as full as it used to be. The Lord prunes. The Lord removes things. The Lord adds. Blessed be to His name. Amen? Do not go by sight. Do not go by appearances. But go by the leading of the Spirit of the living God. For He shall lead you into all truth all the days of your life. You have nothing to fear, nothing to dread, but to walk in His peace and to rejoice in that. Praise be to His name. Let His name be exalted above all things. Praise be to His name.